I'm Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And this is Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue.
Hello and welcome to the programme that's all about families and relationships. Coming up later, student loans.
The embarrassment of borrowing money from your children. But our first topic this week is leisure and relaxation.
In the old days, leisure used to mean country walks, a visit to a stately home, a trip around a museum.
Today, nothing's changed, except you have to pay to get in. But first, holidays. Mention leisure and most people will...
Sue. Before we go on, I feel I should bring up something that's very close to us on this programme.
What's that, Mike?
Something the listeners will think very odd if we don't mention it. It's been on everyone's mind.
Well, I'm sure the listeners...
No, Sue, please hear me out. None of us, including the listeners, have been able to avoid certain scurrilous, untrue reports in the gutter press concerning somebody on this programme who I won't name. But, Sue, can I just say we don't believe a word of it?
Thank you very much, Mike.
I've said my piece. I won't mention it again.
So, on to our first...
There's no way they could make the charges stick, Sue. I've been in those changing rooms at Harvey Nichols. I don't see how you could fit two people in. Let alone with one of them kneeling down.
I think you'll find that sub judice, actually, Mike.
My lips are sealed.
Thank you.
As I'm sure yours were that afternoon in Harvey Nichols.
Yes. On to our first item. Mention leisure, and most people will think of holidays.
You know how it is. You've checked in at the hotel.
You're sunning yourself on some exotic beach.
But somehow you still can't enjoy it.
Come on, darling, relax.
I am relaxed.
No, you're not. You're still thinking about the office.
Rubbish. I'm relaxing. I'm listening to my headphones.
Which are attached to your mobile phone, which is connected to the office.
Well, I've got to keep an eye on them.
Nonsense. They'll manage perfectly well without you.
That's why I'm keeping an eye on them. They might find they don't need me.
Look, Sophie, just forget about the office and have fun.
I am having fun. Look, I've brought my executive toys with me. Whee! See? Newton, what a rascal, eh?
Come on, let your hair down. Go topless, eh?
All right. I'll take my jacket off.
Good. And we're on holiday, yeah? You don't have to get up at 6 every morning.
I've got to get my 22 lengths in.
You swam 22 lengths of that?
Yes.
But it's the Mediterranean.
I know. I'm going to be so fit for the inter-office swimathon.
Look, just leave the office behind for once.
I have.
Then why did you bring your desk with you?
Well, so there's somewhere for Sandra to lay out my files.
Really finished, Mrs. Wheeler.
Thank you very much, Sandra.
Look, let's have lunch. There's a lovely little taverna just down the coast.
I don't seem to have a window in my diary this week. Why don't you phone Sandra on Monday and she'll try and fit you in?
Look, for the last time, Sophie, if you want this relationship to last, you've got to forget about work and enjoy yourself.
I can't.
Why not?
I told my husband this was a business trip.
Now, leisure also means sport, but some people aren't content with plain old football or cricket. Oh, no, they want their sport with a bit of an edge to it, like our next guest, Craig Stevens of the Dangerous Sports Association.
Hello.
Tell me if I got this right, Craig. Your club is dedicated to the wilder shores of the sporting continent, sports such as snowboarding, bungee jumping, paraskiing and the like.
Are you calling me a wuss? We don't just do bungee jumping, we do helicopter bungee jumping.
Oh, that sounds a bit hairy.
Yeah. Every chance you'll have your head severed on the rebound. We've taken blindfold chess and upped the stakes a little. It's now blindfold Formula One.
So these sports, how popular are they?
Well, we started out with nearly 1,000 members, but after a record year, I'm pleased to say, we're down to 23.
Oh.
So what are you saying? You're saying that's not good enough?
Oh, no,
I'm doing my best. These last 23 just keep hanging on. Still, next month's Scrabble tournament might help things along.
Scrabble?
With a leopard.
A leopard?
Yeah, I stole it from the zoo after the doctors discharged me. It's in the car. Do you want to see it?
Yes. Yes, Craig. We'd love to see it. I tell you what.
Yes?
Why don't you go to the front desk?
Right.
Tell the men in uniforms that you've got a leopard in your car and you want to bring it inside.
Right.
And we'll see you when we see you.
Okay.
Okay.
You're listening to Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue.
In part two, we'll be unravelling the mystery of the ages.
Just how old is Jerry Halliwell?
But first, we're looking at leisure and relaxation.
Now, whatever your leisure interest, it's important not to take it too far.
Can you get that, darling?
Yeah, okay.
Hello.
Hello.
We're your new neighbours.
Yes, we just saw the removal van and we thought we'd pop in to, you know...
Say hello.
Hello.
Right, yes, hello. Well, perhaps you'd better come in. Jennifer?
Yes, Doug. Oh, my God.
These are our new neighbours.
Yes, of course.
I'm Peter and this is G.
Hello.
Stephen and Jennifer.
Yes, hello. Well, the kettle's just boiled. Would you like a cup of tea?
Oh, I'd love one.
Well, come into the living room. But mind where you tread.
Yes, please.
Now, by the way, I should mention, before you hear it from anyone else, that Jean and I are nudists.
But we're not those namby-pamby weekend nudists, no. We believe in total nudity all of the time.
Yes, so I gather. Yeah. Still, do sit down.
Oh, what a lovely white sofa. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Stephen, shall we put a towel on it first?
Yes, because it got a bit grimy in the van.
That's right.
Moving.
Oh, no, that's all right. We don't mind.
Oh, it's lovely and comfy.
You sink right in, don't you?
So, where have you moved here from?
Where did we move from, Jennifer?
Reigate.
Oh, damn. Spilt the tea.
Yes, darling. Well, perhaps if you looked at the cups instead of elsewhere.
Cups. Cups. Yes, cubs. Would you like a biscuit, Jean?
Oh, thank you. Oh, butterfingers.
It's all right. It's just rolled under the sofa. I'll get it.
Oh, no, you have to get down. You have to get down on your hands and knees, Peter.
Well, I can't see.
We'll have to bend down further, Peter.
Here it is.
Stephen,
what?
I just remembered we must defrost the chicken.
Reigate, eh? Peter's got a cousin in Reigate, haven't you, dear?
Yeah, funny chap he is.
Bit eccentric.
Yeah, he had a lovely lawn, and he paved it right over.
Mad.
Yeah.
Peter? They're raising the drawbridge at Diddlecock Castle.
I'm sorry about this, folks. I assure you it's completely spontaneous, nothing personal, you understand? It's just a flow of blood to the extremities. I'm sure Stephen knows what I'm talking about. If it bothers you, I could pop a doily on it or something.
I don't think the doilies are unpacked.
Well, let me just finish this cup and place it. So, Bob's your uncle.
Kind of good.
I must say, you're very understanding of our way of life.
Oh, believe me, not everyone's as broad-minded as you and your lovely wife.
No, we're not married.
What?
No, we're just living together.
Yeah, living together.
Oh, you people disgust me. Come on, Jean, we'll leave them.
They've still got our cup.
Leisure for many people means keeping fit.
No, it certainly does for me, Sue. You know, I always try to get down to the gym at least three times a week.
Yeah, and do you succeed?
Yeah, laugh away, Sue, but sometimes you can have the devil of a job finding a gym with the right sort of class.
I thought you were a member of that posh one in Chelsea.
Yeah, I was, but ever since they sold those photos of Diana, God bless her, I said there's no way they're going to put pictures of me in the papers.
Well, so far so good.
You see, Sue, I've got this little trick I use to avoid press intrusion. I make sure I'm never caught on security cameras with a shop assistant in the changing room of Harvey
Nichols. So you don't go to the one in Chelsea. Where do you go to keep fit? The Sanctum Club?
We had a little misunderstanding, so I don't go there anymore.
What about that gym at the end of your road?
Oh, it was too close.
Too close?
Once you've got the car out and found a parking space, it's time to go.
So, you don't actually go to a gym at all?
No, I work out at home. I'm well on the way to a six-pack stomach.
Six packs of crisps.
laugh away, Sue, but can I just mention sagging breasts, flabby thighs, and pasty complexion?
You certainly can, Mike, and it's very brave of you to admit it.
One leisure activity that many of us enjoy is gardening.
Yes, the average man, for example, thinks about gardening once every 7 days.
But what happens when things go wrong? Now, to answer your problems and queries is our regular gardening expert, Pippa Wilmington.
Hello.
Hello, Pippa. Hello,
now, first of all, we've got a letter here from a Mrs. Beddoes of Gloucester. She says, "Dear Pippa, when we first got married, my husband and I enjoyed a full and active gardening life together.
Oh, yeah.
But now he seems to have lost interest.
Oh, right.
Whenever I suggest a bit of gardening, he claims he's too tired. And then if I can talk him into the garden, he lasts about 5 minutes, then rolls over and goes to sleep. What shall I do?"
Well, Mrs. Beddoe, now, nowadays, what you got to remember, it doesn't have to be the man who initiates the gardening. Why should he have to do all the work, you know? Spice up your gardening life by dressing more suggestively, perhaps, you know? Maybe long gardening gloves, for example. Wellingtons, thorn-proof trousers, you know? And before long, that you'll find you'll be the one who's exhausted.
Here's a letter from a Mr. Lukens of Redcar. "Dear Pippa, I'm having difficulty getting my tomato plants to stay up. But when I do manage, they start drooping before I can enjoy them. I used to laugh about this sort of thing with my mates, but I never thought it would happen to me."
Can I just say, Mr. Lukens, you're not alone. This is a common problem. Now, I recommend you visit a specialist shop where there are a number of sprays available. Green fly, black fly, red spider. Or you could try looking at the pictures in magazines. Gardener's World, for example.
And finally, Mrs. Capes of London writes, "Dear Pippa, my husband has taken to disappearing into the garden shed with a seed catalogue. I don't know what he's doing in there, but when he comes out, he's got a satisfied look on his face. Should I be worried?"
No, absolutely not, Mrs. Capes. Nothing to worry about. He's probably just masturbating.
And our final topic this week is crises. And we begin with crises at work.
How ironic. Considering one example of a crisis at work might be a female presenter of a show being prosecuted for indecency.
Yes, and another example might be the female presenter of a show giving the male presenter a punch in the throat.
Yet another example might be the female presenter getting the sack as a result. And sacking's the topic of our next item. We all know what it's like to be sacked.
Some of us more than others, Mike.
But think how much harder it is for the boss. It's never pleasant to have to sack an employee.
And many bosses are developing new strategies for coping with it.
Ah, come in, David. Have a seat.
Thanks, Mr. Poulter.
Make yourself comfortable. Tea? Coffee?
No, thanks.
Good. This won't take long. Now, since we were taken over, I imagine you've noticed a few changes in the office, eh?
Yes, Mr. Poulter. Is it this downsizing thing?
I see you're 3 steps ahead of me, David. Good. Yeah, it is this downsizing thing, and, well, there's no easy way of saying this.
Oh, it's all right, Mr. Poulter. I was, sort of half expecting it.
Oh, well, then you won't be surprised when I tell you that I've looked at the manpower figures for your department, and, I'm afraid I'm going to have to, kill you.
What?
Well, you see, there's a world recession, isn't there? So we're having to cut our coat to suit our cloth.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Poulter, backtracking a little. Did you just say you're going to kill me?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, we've looked at the alternatives, redundancy, early retirement, multi-skilling, and they're simply not cost-effective. So, yeah, we're going to kill you.
So when you announced that Emily Thomas in accounts had left to be with her family in Essex...
That's right. Shallow grave in Epping Forest.
Oh. You can't do this!
Why not?
Because the Employment Act clearly states that I'm entitled to the presence of my union representative.
All right, if you insist. There he is.
Oh, my God!
We'll just pop him on the sofa, shall we?
You killed the union rep!
Of course I did. This isn't the 70s, you know. Let's get it over with, shall we?
Wait. Why don't you let me do it myself?
Eh?
Well, you want a convincing suicide, fingerprints, ballistics, you know.
Ooh, good idea. Here's the gun, then.
Thanks.
You're thinking like that, David Poulter. It's a shame you're leaving us.
But I'm not leaving.
Pardon?
Downsize this!
Oh! David, do you realise this is a sackable offence? Like, you've gone too far. I'm going to have to let you go.
Yo, blast!
Crisis at the office.
All too often, crises arise within the family.
And sadly, it's usually the fault of the kids.
Unless it's the fault of the parents.
Which it wouldn't be, because they've probably been provoked by the kids.
And the real test of any parent is how they cope with the most heart-rending crisis of all.
Mum? Dad?
Yes, son?
There's something I've got to tell you.
That's all right, dear. Come in, sit down.
Well, you know you can tell us anything.
What's on your mind, darling?
Well, the thing is, you think you know me pretty well.
That's right. We've always encouraged you to be honest.
Well, there's no easy way of putting this, but the truth is...
Yes?
I'm stupid.
What?
You mean my son's a thicko?
We prefer not to use that word, Dad.
I'll use whatever damn word I like.
Now, Kenneth, don't lose your temper. Listen, dear, are you sure this stupidity isn't just a transient phase?
Sorry, Mum, I don't understand the question.
Maybe you're just confused.
Of course I'm confused. It's part of being stupid.
We tried so hard. We bought you books.
Never read one of them.
Took you to the theatre.
Fell asleep.
You watch Countdown every day.
I like the music.
Well, this is... I don't know what to say. I mean, what sort of future is there for a stupid person?
Dad, I can do all sorts of things. Merchant banker. Geography teacher. Political correspondent at the Daily Mail.
We had such plans for you. University.
Oh, Mum, don't worry. Don't worry, I'm still going there. I'm doing media studies.
When did you find out you were like this?
I suppose I've always known. And then I realised there were people at school who were just like me, just pretending to be clever. And on TV as well, people like Richard Littlejohn, Eamon Holmes, Anne Robinson.
Well, I suppose we should have guessed you were stupid when we caught you buying that Mick Hucknall album.
But he is a stupid icon, Mum.
No, I don't believe you're stupid. I think someone's been putting ideas into your head.
Well, they tried, but nothing stuck. That's what being stupid means.
Don't get clever with me.
Well, I don't think there's much chance of that.
Now, look, son, however you choose to live your life, you will always be our son.
Thanks, Mum.
We're proud of you for being so brave instead of one of those unhappy little men who live their lives trying to hide it. Isn't that right, Kenneth?
Sorry, dear, I don't understand the question.
The crisis of stupidity. Now, having a crisis in your life is bad enough, but imagine the additional stress of having your personal embarrassment splashed all over the tabloid press. Here to justify, if he can, his intrusion into the private life of an ordinary celebrity is tabloid editor Stuart Davis. Tell me, Stuart, how do you sleep at night?
Well, Mike, we're both in the entertainment business. You need the publicity. We need the stories.
But there is one particular story which could cause a lot of personal grief and hurt to somebody very close to this show. I think you know the one I mean.
Let's just keep it general, shall we?
But so, the public has a right to know. I mean, what is the justification for publishing photos like these? Taken by the security cameras in Harvey Nichols' changing room.
Mike! What?
That story. Mike, I thought you wanted to talk about the other story.
What other story?
Well, you know, the one about the celebrity who's been banned from every gym in London for groping.
Oh, really? Do go on, Stuart.
Well, just keep it general, shall we?
I think the public has a right to know.
Well, we've got photos, Sue, statements from the ladies involved, the lot, but we don't want to publish till we've spoken to the gentleman concerned. So, any comment, Mike?
Yes. You don't see me forcing my nose into people's private affairs.
Forcing my nose into people's privates. Lovely quote, Mike.
Wait.
We'll send you a copy. Cheers. See ya.
The horrors of tabloid intrusion. I can do the next bit if you like, Mike.
Oh, would you?
Family life is simply riddled with crises.
Well, I'll drink to that, Sue.
For example, when children get older and start questioning the world about them.
Daddy, can I ask you a question?
Yes, of course, Siobhan. I'm always pleased when you seek to expand your knowledge of the world. As long as you're aware, my answer will be based on scientific fact, not superstition dressed up with baby talk.
Yes, Daddy.
Good.
Well, do you know when my goldfish died?
Yes.
Well, Granny says he's gone to heaven.
No, that's quite wrong. Heaven and hell are essentially medieval constructs aimed at bolstering the hegemony of the priesthood.
Oh. So, what's happened to him then?
He died of a fungal infection and we flushed him down the toilet.
So when Grandpa died, did you flush him down the toilet?
No.
We put him in a hole in the ground where he's undergoing a process of decay through the agency of bacteria and maggots.
So he hasn't gone to heaven?
Correct. Do you have any more misconceptions I can straighten out?
Where do babies come from?
This old chestnut. Well, babies are the result of a process called sexual intercourse.
Is that what you were doing with Mummy in your bedroom last night?
Yes, that's quite correct, yes. The process involves the insertion of my penis into your mother's vagina. I move it back and forth until orgasm. A zygote is then formed within your mother's ovum.
Why was Mummy making that funny noise? Was that orgasm?
No, she was pretending. Mummy no longer finds me sexually attractive and feels the need to encourage me.
Why?
Because she's hoping for another baby before her ovaries dry up.
Oh, but Granny says a stork brings them.
No, honestly, if you thought about it, Siobhan, for just 2 seconds, you'd realise that a stork's musculature is really quite inadequate when it would come to conveying a human baby of even average weight.
But Granny...
No, besides all this, you see, this raises a further question, doesn't it, as to where the stork would get the baby from, you see? Anything else?
Can I have ballet lessons?
What for?
I want to be a ballerina when I grow up.
I'm afraid that's quite impossible.
Why?
Well, because your legs are too thick, and by the time you're 15, I fear you're going to be quite a donut.
Oh.
Moreover, ballet dancing requires discipline, which, seeing as you have missed all your targets at school, you patently lack.
Nanny!
No, please, no tears. No. Thank you. Yep. Crying, you see, is a waste of emotional energy that would be more usefully directed toward academic achievement, you see. And there's no tooth fairy. Father Christmas is the school caretaker, dressed up, and Towser didn't go to live on a farm with fluffy bunny rabbits. We had him put down because I don't like dogs.
But, Daddy, you're spoiling everything.
I spoil nothing. I am merely removing mystery and replacing it with clear, scientific fact.
But Granny says that all children should have hope in their life.
Then Granny is mistaken. There is no hope, no purpose, no evil and no good in the universe. Nothing but blind, pitiless indifference.
Well, then what's the point of life? What's the point of anything?
No, come on. You're beginning to sound like your mother. Before that suicide attempt. Now...
Well, let me tell you a fact, Daddy. You're a bitter, joyless old sod. And everybody hates you. And when we grow up, we're going to put you in a home. Oh, grow up!
Well, there you have it.
But something like that isn't the end of the world.
No, indeed, Mike. But something that would be the end of the world is a massive asteroid smashing into the Earth and wiping out life in a series of tidal waves and earthquakes.
And possibly interfering with your TV reception.
Here to explain the science behind the speculation is Professor Patrick Rutherford of Cambridge University.
Hello, Mike. Hello, Sue.
Hello. Now, tell us, Professor, what exactly is an asteroid?
Well, Sue, it's perfectly simple. The Sun, as you know, travels round the Earth once every 24 hours.
Sorry, I thought the Earth went round the Sun.
Sorry?
Well, you said the Sun goes round the Earth.
Yeah. Doesn't it?
Well, no. No.
Oh, well. Cheerio, Sue. Cheerio, Mike.
Cheerio.
You're listening to Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue.
International terrorism is a crisis that affects many people.
But mostly it affects the victims of terrorism.
Think of Terry Waite, John McCarthy and Brian Keenan.
Did I ever tell you, sir, that I was once held hostage?
Really?
Student Rag Week. They wanted the TV company to give £200 to charity.
Oh, golly, that much?
I know. I was locked blindfolded in a student lavatory.
Oh, was it for long?
No. 6 weeks. They had to let me go in the end.
Well, at least you raised £200 for charity.
The crisis of terrorism. It can strike at any moment.
Setting course to 29 red and climbing to 30,000 feet.
Roger.
Sir, madam, you can't go in there.
Let us through. Who is in command of this plane?
I am.
Wrong away.
All right, I don't know your weapons. Let's all keep calm.
Sit down, pig.
All right. Just tell us which airport you want us to land at, and we'll...
We don't want to go nowhere.
We want a radical improvement in the in-flight entertainment.
Yeah. No more of your crappy movies. No more Summersby, eh?
No more nobody's fool with Paul Newman.
Why don't you show us Deconstructing Harry, eh?
Scream 2.
Yeah, Wes Craven. He's very good.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, okay. And hey, Buster, he's not just the films, okay? Yeah. I couldn't get to the toilet because the duty-free trolley was coming the other way.
Let's all stay calm, shall we?
You try staying calm, sweethearts, with a kid kicking the backs of your seat for 6 hours.
And nothing to eat but an ice cream Mars bar.
Well, is that all?
All? All, he says all. Hey, you Western dogs have been calling these shots for too long.
Yes, you call this a pudding, a block of green jelly with hundreds and thousands on the top?
And my headphones, eh? They keep fall out of my ear. They fall. And when they are in, they can only pick up one channel. I got bloody Clive Anderson introducing clips from 50s radio programs, isn't it?
And in the Navy lark, do us a favor.
Hey, I quite like around the horn. You
are... Quiet, Carlos. No compromise, remember?
See, I remember. And hey, if our demands are not met, my friend, you can expect the severest consequences.
Well, all right. Now, what do you want us to do?
Upgrade us to club class.
Yeah, champagne on demand.
Canopies, table with flowers on it.
Foxy flight attendants, eh? Not these leathery old bags with too much makeup from economy, on whom the ravages of gravity have exacted their toll.
Hey! Carlos, less of the body fascism.
Sorry.
I'm afraid that's quite out of the question. Club class is full.
Oh, then we will have to start emptying it with this.
Oh, you can't do that!
Look, those people have paid good money.
If that is your will, then so be it. Hey, Layla.
Hey.
Start with the seats nearest the toilets.
All right. Now, there's a way out of this.
Oh?
We're prepared to offer you 25% off your next flight with this airline.
Mm.
It has to be taken up before March the 31st.
Yeah, God.
Now, perhaps you'd care to hand over your weapons?
Oh, sorry, but that is impossible.
Impossible. We've got to hand them back to the 12 Iraqi terrorists waiting outside, isn't it?
Oh.
That's nearly it for this week.
We've just got time to remind you of today's telephone poll.
The question is, do you think telephone polls are rigged?
Phone 0860-157-143 if your answer is no.
Next week... Next week, sex in dangerous places.
A warning from a leading proctologist. That's all from us.
But if you want to see more of Mike, buy a downmarket tabloid this Sunday.
And if you want to see more of Sue, get a job as a sales assistant in an upmarket department store. I'm Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And this has been Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue.
Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue was written by Ian Brown and James Hendry from a format by Bill Dare. It starred Robert Duncan and Jan Ravens with Roger Blake, Alistair McGowan, Ronnie Ancona and Tracy Ann Oberman. Music was by Mark Burton and the producer was Aled Evans.